So I'm very pleased now to welcome onto the show Dan Whitehouse, who unbelievably is half a world away, very nearly in Japan. Dan, are you there? Welcome.
Hi, how you doing, James?
I'm very well, thank you. And it's great to have you on. It's great to speak to you again because I know you've been up to lots of things since we last spoke. And obviously, since we last spoke, we're all locked down, really, aren't we? We're all stuck.
Yep. Life is on pause.
For folks listening that don't know who you are, we'll have to have a serious talk to them. But really, I guess you're a singer-songwriter, but you do lots more than that. What we're going to talk about today, there's a couple of things we're going to talk about, but one is you've got a brand new album out, which is very exciting, which is called Dreamland Tomorrow.
That's right. It came out on the 1st of May. It's 22 songs. It's released on Reveal Records. I've been working on it the last 2 or 3 years. It's quite a departure from some of my other records I've released, not least because I tried a different approach. I actually wrote the music first with this one. Traditionally, I'd always started with the lyrics. This time, I actually recorded a bunch of birdsong and worked out some of the birdsong on the guitar, interpreted it on the guitar, and then used that as the basis for sort of long improvised sessions with some of my bandmates. We sort of made this body of work and then edited it down, sort of like approached the music in the way a sculptor might carve something out of the rock. It was a really interesting process. It was nice to put the music first for once.
I seem to remember the last time I saw you, I think I was in your kitchen and you were trying to explain to me how bird songs were kind of structured but not structured. And I guess that was part of that experiment. And I think experimental is a good word, isn't it, for this album?
That's right, yeah. It's definitely a long process, a various stage of filtering. I remember that conversation. Yeah, that was one. And I was just getting into the bird song, I think, at that stage.
And you use quite a wide range of sound as well in terms of the album. And we probably should say it's kind of split as a double album. So there's a kind of, yeah. I guess, a studio album and a live album.
Yeah, that's explained in the title in a way. So Dreamland is disc one and Tomorrow is disc two. Dreamland is written from my imagination and it's got the wider and more experimental range of sounds and production. And Tomorrow is all about living in the moment, being grateful and living in a state of gratitude for the present moment. And that's very much more just stripped back. I just delivered mainly sort of guitar and vocal, as I would do live at a concert. But the record's a real collaborative affair. That's what enabled that wide range of sounds that you talked about. So I got like a lot of friends involved. Zosa Cole comes and plays flute. The first disc is recorded and mixed by John Elliott of The Little Unsaid, and he added a lot of piano and synths harmonies to the record, which is produced by Tom Rose, the Reveal Records MD. And then disc two is produced by Boo Hewardeen, who co-wrote several of the songs as well, and his son Ben. Collaboration, really, and over a long period of time, able to piece together lots of different influences and make a kind of tapestry, I guess.
I think it sounds great. I've been listening to it a lot this week, and it's a very rich sound. It's consciously, I think, as you mentioned at the start, different from some of the things you've done previously. But there's a real, I guess, a tapestry of things, really. It's hard to describe because you kind of, I found it quite reflective as an album. It's quite, there's a lot of emotion in it as well. You know, you've kind of been doing some deep thinking about this, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I made a conscious effort with the topic of the lyrics. I didn't want to write about myself. And I did lots of research, I found human stories, people's journeys, you know. I wrote a song about resignation syndrome, a syndrome found in the children of asylum seekers where they completely shut down, they stop speaking, a lot of their bodily functions stop working after they've experienced trauma. I wrote another song about a Russian jail, a wife going to visit, make her annual trip to her husband that she knew was never going to be released. But the thing is that surprised me is that even when you make a conscious effort to write about others, you know, you end up putting your own experiences into it. You view everything through that filter, don't you? And definitely my own life experience in recent years comes through in the record as well.
The other thing I really like about this is there are some songs and bits of songs on this album that I've heard, you know, probably say 12 months, maybe a couple of years ago, from, you know, from knowing you and from having interviewed you before. So you can hear, I guess, the kind of the evolution of some of these songs. And the song that is a good example of that is the State of the English. So the last time I heard that song, it sounded very different, I think, from the album version this time round.
Yeah, there's a lot of versions of that one in particular. You're right to highlight that. And it's been interesting, actually. You off air, we were talking about the Patreon site. And in the 25 days leading up to the album release, I actually charted the journey of each song and put up the four or five different versions of each song. That was an interesting process for some of the followers of my music. And people were surprised at how some people preferred some of the versions that ended up on the cutting room floor, you know.
And there's some, I think, some remixes as well, aren't there, of some of the tracks. So people, I guess, have explored elements of the sound sort of beyond some of the things that you initially thought.
That's true, yeah. There's a fellow Reveal Records artist called Grip Tight, who has been featured on Radio 1 a lot recently. And he lives in Berlin and he's remixed the title track Dreamland. That's available now on Spotify and Apple. That's a really cool sort of dance remix of Dreamland. There's a multi-instrumentalist orchestral guy called Gustav in Denmark. He did the song Tomorrow. That's been resonating well with people.
And let's talk about, you mentioned them earlier on, the Hooudines. They do sound like a folk act, don't they? But Ben and Boo, who I know certainly Boo Hooudine you've worked with over a number of years now. But as you said, Boo and Ben, I think, produced the part of the double album, the kind of, I guess, the live bit of it, or the raw bit. I like the word raw because it describes other things, I think, other than just playing live. You co-wrote some things as well with them as letting them produce it.
Yeah, Ben actually co-wrote the title track Tomorrow. It's more his song than mine in a way. He started it. He came to me with that magnificent opening line of that song. Beauty is making someone you love care less about tomorrow. When I heard that line, I just thought, he's completely nailed it. That's my favourite song ever. I'd love to sing that line.
And when you were putting together the kind of that live half of it, if you like, I mean, it's not half of it, but, you know, the kind of second part of the album, were they things that you caught as a kind of snapshot of performances, or were they things that you had an idea about, you know, recording live, if you see what I mean? So were they kind of, you thought, that these are the live songs that I want to put on this album, or were they things that you just thought, actually, you know, of these 200 songs I've done over the last, you know, however many years, these are the ones that stand out, that sound, you know, that sound best live. How did it work?
It's interesting you asked that, because it was a real journey with that disc. It didn't start out as solo and live. That disc was also quite produced, and we recorded it all with band arrangements and at various different places across the country, from Cambridgeshire to Glasgow. And it was a full production studio record. It wasn't that I didn't like it, it was just, it was disparate and it was all a bit different and it didn't all hang together. And then I had this intense period of touring where I played a lot of the material on my own, because all the gigs were solo gigs. And Boo saw some of those performances, because I was one of the bits of touring, I was opening for Eddie Reader, and he plays in Eddie's band. And he was like, you know, it's kind of an expensive way of doing it, but I think we were going down the wrong track, and you should come to this studio I know that's got a great sound, and just sort of record your live show. And that studio is in London, a place called Tile Yard, with an incredible engineer called John Kelly, who worked at Air Studios with George Martin, recorded Kate Bush, amongst others, Preframe Sprout. And, you know, working with John and Boo in that studio in London, we were in there for about 6 days. I played guitar and sang live in the room. It's a real kind of traditional recording setup in that way. I was familiar with the songs from all the touring and stuff, so it worked to do it in quite a fluid and fast way. And so that second disc, in a way, didn't come together till right towards the end of the process.
Let's talk a bit about playing live and gigging and performance, because I guess that's the thing you kind of miss most at the moment, isn't it, in terms of what you do, because you're not really allowed to do any of those kind of things.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. I mean, the first few months, because I've been out in Japan since January, so living, and lockdown has been happening here since February. At first, I enjoyed the rest and recuperation, the not travelling, having enough sleep, eating healthily, those are luxuries you don't get on the road, you know. But I'm definitely itching to play through a proper PA system now. I'm kind of sick of practicing like without an amp or just with my little 5-watt amp.
Miss moving the chairs around and nearly falling over cables.
I think what I miss the most is jamming with other people. I mean, the remote recording's going well. I'm doing a lot of that, but it's not as fluid. And I mean, it's good in a different way. It's kind of a microscopic way of working, and it gives you deep appreciation of your fellow musician. You hear their isolated performance, but you know, it's not that. It's not like kissing. It's not like a kind of mutual exchange. Instant. It's different.
A lot of the dates I think that you had planned for sort of April, May have been put back at the moment. I think to December 2020.
Yeah, do you think we'll make it?
I hope so. I really hope so. I'll keep my fingers crossed. But until then, let's just remind folks of the new album, which came out, I think, the 1st of May. So it's on Reveal Records, and it's called Dreamland Tomorrow. And where do people find that if they want to find it online?
So there's a double CD. It's available from the Reveal Records shop online. I don't know if people still play CDs, but it's beautiful packaging. Great artwork by Martin D. Hyde, a painter in Derbyshire. And then also, of course, it's available on everywhere that you listen to music online, you know, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, all of those kind of places you'll find it.
Excellent. Well, Dan, it's been great to catch up again, and it's been great to make the connection to you whilst you're in Japan, and I'm hoping to buy you a cup of coffee again very soon. But in the meantime, thanks for talking to me. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, James.